Pastor's here today. Let's get ready here and preach, Pastor.
All right. Good to see you this morning. Let's stand together and take our Bibles, and let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Brother Lofgren doing a good job. It might be a little hot, just a little hot here, and so you can adjust that accordingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. You preachers will find out when everything else is going on in your life and you're having a little bit of stress, that's when the sound system wants to act up. And so the demons live in the sound system, they sometimes say. I don't know, but we're working on that. And we have decent equipment. We have real good men that work on it most all the time, so we'll get it right. That's great. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just say a couple of things by way of introduction. We'll get right in the message. First of all, I just want to thank the student body for your prayers. The Bible says a fool utters all his mind, and so we don't try to just excessively talk about every little thing. But the last several days obviously have been some days of maybe some extra hours and challenges. You heard me mention a little bit about it in the message last night. And over the last couple weeks, trying to help a lot of church families, and really one or two in particular, but help the church family through some things, and appreciated your flexibility Wednesday night, as we had one gentleman that needed to just say something in the sense of repentance to the church. And I felt like, sometimes I feel like it's good for you to be a part of that for your training. Other times, maybe I think it's better for the church family to do things a little differently. So thank you for your flexibility. And the Lord is at work. And whenever there's repentance, you can have restoration. If there's a student in the college that is involved in sin, even if they have to be expelled from the college, we always pray that they will repent of their sin so that they can get under counsel and get restored and go back and do what God wants them to do with their life. You never want to have the attitude, even with someone in college, well, good riddance to them, I hope we never see them again. No, Jesus died for them, and we always want to try to help them back. There's never been a student in our college that's maybe had some trouble or we've had to give some merit or something that any of us have ever been like, yeah, they deserve it. No, our spirit, in fact, that's why I love Brother Weaver. So oftentimes I've seen him literally weep tears over students that he just wanted to see them do better. And that's our spirit as a church. So we're seeing God's grace. And then last week, I really miss college days. I love college days. I love just being around you, being around the new students that are coming in. And of course, we were with my wife at the hospital, and appreciate your prayers for her as she's recovering. They wanted to do what's called laparoscopic surgery and had to instead do something major in the sense of an incision and so forth. And so she's in quite a little bit of pain even this morning. And I tried to help her this morning with breakfast, came in, had meetings. I have one more after this. Then I want to go and help her some more, because that's the joy of my life, is trying to be a help and blessing to my wife. And I sure hate to see her having some pain like that. And so I appreciate your prayer. And I just want to say thank you, of course, to our staff, but to you. You know, when you have 300 or 400 guests on your campus, you want them to be hosted properly. And you hope somebody smiles and says hello and shows them around a little bit. And, of course, we want every sold-out, Bible-believing young person that wants to serve God, we want them to come to West Coast Baptist College. I mean, we're not doing this just because there wasn't anything else to do. And if someone's just goofing around looking for a few months on the West Coast, we're not interested in that. But if they want to serve God, we want to have a part in their life. And I just want to thank all of you who took part in welcoming and showing them around. And teamwork is a blessing. And teamwork makes the dream work. Amen? And so thank you again. One verse, like last night, you now know that one verse has nothing to do with the length of a message, right? This is even shorter than last night's one verse, so maybe I'll move through it a little quicker. And I hope it'll be a help to you. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's say it together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Not by sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our students. We thank you for their desire to serve you. I pray a protective hedge about them. Bless their relationships, their friendships, their courtships, their dating. Bless their studies, their finances. Father, please help some of the sophomores this year to take a step in maturity, and help some of the freshmen to really begin to grow in their daily devotions. Help the juniors and seniors to take those major strides necessary before graduation, and help us all as we walk by faith, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have in my hand a book written in 1882 on the life of David Livingston. This particular book gives the story of a man who followed Christ to Africa and who pioneered that mission field for the Lord. A quote that struck me in the book, right at the front, said, "The spirit of missions is the spirit of our master, the very genius of his religion. It requires perpetual propagation to attest its genuineness." I say that last phrase again. It requires perpetual propagation to attest to its genuineness. I want to simply say by way of introduction today that if your faith is real, it will have accompanying it a perpetual propagation. It will work. It will work continually. And in the Bible, one of the first verses we hear when we get saved is Ephesians 2:8-9, which says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The longer you're saved, the more you'll realize there's a perpetual relationship between grace and faith. Do you realize that conviction of sin and recognizing the need for the Savior, that happened by the grace of God in your heart? It was God's grace that showed you that you needed to be saved. But it was your faith in Christ that also necessitated salvation, by grace, through faith. After you're saved, grace is that work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It was God's grace that brought you to West Coast Baptist College. It was God's grace that caused you to surrender your life to be a preacher. Grace creates the desire to minister. Grace creates the desire to serve or to give or to forgive. And whenever you are spiritual, it is by the grace of God working in your heart. God's grace. Ephesians 3 and verse 7, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Paul said not only was he saved by the working of grace, but he became a minister by the work of grace in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something, students. When grace is at work in your heart, everybody knows it. When you're growing in the grace and the knowledge, you see, we don't want you merely growing in the knowledge, though we want you to grow that way. But when you're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is awesome. Do you know there are some people who attend Christian college and they get all the knowledge, but they never have the grace to want to lead a soul to Christ? They never even consider going to a mission field. They never even considered being greatly used of God. They grew in the knowledge, but they didn't grow in the grace. And when you're growing in grace, there is a manifestation in your life. You can just see it in someone's spirit, someone's attitude. A lot of times we'll see a freshman or a sophomore kind of, you know, working through it, and then something, boom, will hit in their life in their sophomore or junior year, and you can see the grace of God all over them. Soul winning's not a drudgery. Singing in the congregation is fun. Hearing the teachers teach is exciting. And there's this desire from within that's by the Holy Spirit of God. So grace creates the desire. Faith moves me to action. Grace creates the desire. Okay, illustration. You're a senior in camp. You're at senior camp. You've been kind of trying to decide what to do with your life. And you hear this preacher preach a message about totally surrendering your life to God. And during that message, you begin to sense welling up within you a desire to serve God with your life. Sometimes there may be a tear in the corner of your eye. Sometimes there may simply just be an enthusiasm that's lifted higher. But there's a grace in your heart, and suddenly you're feeling and sensing a desire to serve God like you never had before. And so you may manifest that inner work of God by going to the altar, by raising your hand in invitation, throwing a pine cone in the fire, whatever. God's grace was at work. Now, camp is over, and now it's time for faith.
Because anybody can have a Gloria Gaither moment with a few tears at the campfire. Some of you don't know Gloria Gaither, and it's no great loss. I don't know her either, but I know this. I can't stand singers that have to get up and tell the story about the song while they fake, you know, for the 89th time crying about it and that type of thing. So what I'm saying is, if there's a real moving of grace in your heart, it's going to be accompanied by a response of faith from your life. So to feel and to sense the work of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift. But if you don't do something with that by faith, and so at camp, God moved on your heart. I believe God wants to use my life. It may have been an emotional time for you. It may have been a wonderful time in your heart. But now then, camp's over. You go home. You still have chores to make. Your mom still tells you to make your bed. Your dad still says do this or that. And you're back to the reality of life. And now you had a choice to make if you're a freshman. Will I by faith go to Bible college? Will I by faith go perhaps to West Coast Baptist College? There is a tremendous difference between devoted idleness and loving action. And there are many college students who have this measure of devotion, but they're idle. And there are others who are moved to action. And the key and the difference is faith in God. Dr. Lee Robertson often said to me, have faith in God. As he preached in various different places, and we were getting ready to build another auditorium, another building, he often said, have faith in God. And whatever happens for good in your life and for God in your life begins with grace and is manifested by faith in your life. If you're going to finish this year, if you're going to finish your course at West Coast Baptist College, you're going to have to keep growing and growing through grace and by faith. And the Bible is clear, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, every time one of God's little children trusts Him, it delights His heart. I cannot imagine how much God loves us. I got home last night, checked on my wife for a few minutes. My daughter was there with our grandson. And so, first I had to clean my hands with antibacterial. Brother Mord came home to see, and he was going to take Camden, my grandson, his son. I said, did you wash your hands with bacterial? Antibacterial? He said, no. I said, then give me the baby. You can't have the baby yet. I know it's his son, but he might have swine flu. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I washed my hands and I took off my coat and I grabbed that little fella. We had a wonderful talk. He and I made some decisions. He agreed with me that he's going to go to Disneyland with me without his parents. He was very amenable to that last night. And he couldn't talk to me about it, but he would smile or yawn or make some indication. You just had to be there. You would get it. You'd understand it. Well, I'll tell you what, that little guy, he can't do anything really except sit there and eat and sleep. But you know, the fact is, I love him so deeply. There's not a thing I wouldn't try to do to help him. Just looking in there, holding his little 7-pound frame and just trying to tell him I love him. Students, did you know God loves you? And do you know, he would barely lift his arm or his leg, and that just excited me. Imagine when you say, I'm going to go to West Coast and trust God. I'll go to the mission field. I want to be a preacher of the gospel. Did you know that moves God's heart? Did you know that when you live by faith, it pleases God? And I want to speak to you for a few moments about living by faith. Because sometimes I see Bible college students who, when they get to that point and they're a senior guy and they don't yet have, you know, a wife, it's easy to start manipulating, or a senior girl. It's easier to lower your standards. It's easy to question your call when you're ending your sophomore year and it seems like a long time till college is over. And a lot of times I see people who start out in faith, but then they start manipulating the situation. And instead of trusting God, they try to make it happen in their own way. And I got to tell you this morning, God's way is always the better way. You can manipulate a way, but it's awesome when God makes the way. And I want to speak to you about how God makes the way. First, I want you to see this morning the journey of faith. We walk by faith. Faith is a journey. And the more we learn about faith in an early time of life, the greater potential for God to use us later in life. And as we walk by faith, God is pleased. The journey of faith. I want to speak for a moment about the journey of faith in your relationships. In your relationships. I want to challenge you this morning to have faith in God with respect to your relationships. Amos 3:3 says it this way. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Young people, in your relationships, as a Bible college student, there is no way on God's earth that you should be dating or showing an interest in that unsaved guy that works at the mall. That is not faith, that is sight. There's no way that a young man in this college should be even remotely interested in a young woman who does not attend Three to Thrive, who's not involved in soul winning, who's not giving to Faith Promise missions, who has not standards in her life. Hey, my friend, I thought you were here to learn how to be a preacher, a missionary, a Christian school teacher. How can two walk together except they be agreed? In fact, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, you're to withdraw from a brother who walketh disorderly. I'm going to say what I've said for 15 years this morning. I don't care if it hair lips the Pope this morning. You have no business dating someone who will not sharpen you and strengthen you in your Christian faith. That is not of faith, my friend. That is of sight. Well, she's a good looker. I guess we found the level of your spirituality. Sight. You see, in your relationships, you need to walk by faith. By faith. In your friendships, in your courtships, I'm simply saying, walk by faith. Oh, listen today, it takes faith to trust God for the right friends and the right relationship. And I'd rather see you be 2 years out of college. And by the way, you know I am for you making friends and dating and courting and marrying. In fact, I mean, some of you guys, we'll haul off and schedule some weddings next Friday if you're ready. Because so far, some of you senior men are just staring like a calf staring at the new gate, you know. I believe this is a great place to have friendships and courtships and find God's future for your life. But listen to me. I'd rather see you at age 32 and knowing it's of faith and knowing it's of God than just trying to manipulate the system. Now, some of you may not be dating because of a lack of faith right now and insecurity, and you come from a broken home and you're scared to death about it. But I'm just saying, when it comes time, whether it's now or later, you had better make sure that you're holding to your standard and that the person that you are creating a friendship with, that this person loves God, they love the local church, they're submissive to authority, they have some standards in their life that will keep you sharp, that will help you to be a better person and a better Christian, that you have determined that in your life. I remember taking both of our daughters out on their 13th birthday, and I remember as we sat across the table there, just reminiscing and talking about entering into their high school years, and as I placed on their finger their purity ring. And I remember saying, Danielle, here's your purity ring. And you've been a sweet daughter. And Christine, a precious daughter. And you've had your devotions and you've watched the way you've lived your life. And now, these next several years as a teenager, you're going to see all of the magazine styles and all of the... By the way, some of you girls ought to be much less interested. Look, I couldn't name you five movie stars. You ought to be much less interested in Hollywood and a whole lot more interested in the Bible. And I told my girls there's going to be a lot of different influences and maybe some boys along the way that are going to pretend like they like you and they're going to try to do some things. I said, I want to challenge you. Keep this ring and keep your life and keep your heart and stay pure. Both of our daughters on their honeymoon night were able to present that ring to their husbands and say, I want you to know that you're the first one and the only one that I've ever kissed and that my purity's been saved for God and for you. And I thank God they dated young men who honored that commitment and they didn't try to fight me and go around some hidden place and be some kind of a scoundrel and some kind of a wicked man. I'm just simply saying, get some friendships that are by faith in God and that are pleasing to God. In your relationships, you need faith for your relationships. I want to say, secondly, you need faith for your finances. I thank God that I can believe and trust in His promise, Philippians chapter 4, but my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now you listen to me, young men. You may not need rims on your tires, and you may not need a brand new car. You certainly don't need the latest gizmos for your computer. And some of you don't need some of the things that are on your computer right now. But if you have a need, God says, I'll provide that need in your life. Malachi 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. I understand the context of that passage. I understand it was a promise given to a nation. I understand also it's a principle for us today. And God, in His Word, is the one who says, prove me. That is, He says, trust me. That is, He is saying, I will meet your need. I will provide the needs of your life. And I'm thankful to God this morning that we have a God who says, if you'll trust me, if you'll prove me, I'll provide the need in your life. I'll meet the need that you have. And I want to challenge some of you students this morning that may be up against it. Keep praying. Keep trusting, keep seeking God and proving God, and let God meet your need, for God will provide. Oh, listen today, it takes faith to keep praying. It takes humility to come to Saturday night prayer and say, pray for my school bill. It takes humility in the dorm to say, pray for my school bill. Right now I have about 40 members of our church that are without employment. And we're going to help all of them during Thanksgiving, Christmas. I've tried to be the best under-shepherd I could be to pray and to know who has need. But I'm going to tell you something. And I said this in our pastoral staff meeting this morning. Of those 40 without a job, half of them are hit and miss in church. 3/4 of them do not come to the prayer meeting we have on Monday morning for the unemployed, and we've offered free transportation to that. I don't feel a great big burden to bring a Christmas tree and a turkey and a couple $100 or whatever the case might be for a guy who doesn't have time to pray for his own need. I may be praying more for his need than he's praying for his need. And if you're a student in this college and you're doing your best in your studies and you're going out working and working to get a job and you're having a good attitude and you're faithful in your ministries, I'm going to tell you something. Not only do I believe God wants to help provide for you, but I believe there are some people on this platform around this country who want to do everything they can to help that kind of a student. You're not working at your job. You're not working at your grades. You're fluffing around your ministry of responsibility. You're not involved doing what you're supposed to do. I'm going to tell you something. It's not as exciting to help someone who's not even praying themselves about their need, you see. The fact of the matter is, we need to have faith in God, and we need to have a faith that works and that trusts and that believes. Faith for your relationships. Faith for your finances. Faith for your future. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. The journey of faith, that's what we're on today. We walk by faith, not by sight. The journey of faith. Notice secondly, the judgment of faith. How do you know if someone's faith is real? How do you know if someone is the real deal in the Christian life? Turn to James chapter 2, please, in verse 23. James 2, 23. My mother-in-law tells me that I announce the scriptures and then I start reading too soon before she can get there. Now, most of you are not 85 years old, so I'm going to start reading right about now, okay? James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And by the way, fellas, don't ever fall into this hyper-dispensationalism hodgepodge that says you get saved in different ways at different times. Men have always been saved by faith in God's word. Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What was he believing God about? He was believing God about the promise that he would be a blessing to the nations, that God would meet those needs through him and through Messiah. And so Abraham was called the friend of God. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified. Someone says, why? I thought we weren't saved by works. We're not saved by our works, but our faith is justified. Our faith is given credence. There's a testimony to the fact that our faith is real by the fact that we work for God. That's what Paul meant when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't mean by that you work to get saved. What he meant by that is if there's something real in you, if you truly have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then by faith you work out and you manifest out. As I said earlier, when someone is living by grace and by faith, you can see it all over their life. You could in Abraham's life. You see then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's say that phrase together. Ready, begin. So faith without works is dead also. God works in my heart a work of grace. He gives me a desire to serve. I step out by faith. That always will manifest itself with works. The works of seeking God through prayer. The works of seeking a job. The works of praying in my devotions. The works of faith are always justifying the fact that your faith is real. So true faith believes God. Lester Roloff had a favorite hymn. We ought to sing it around here a time or two more. And the hymn was simply this: living by faith, trusting in Jesus alone. And that's how the old timers lived, and that's how they made a difference for God, as they lived by faith. And as they built churches and went to the mission field, they learned to trust God. George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of anxiety is the end of true faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And when you have a strong faith in God, you know that He will meet the need and He will lead the way. True faith believes. Secondly then, true faith works. According to the text in James chapter 2 and verse 24, that a true kind of faith is justified by its works. And so may we understand this tonight. The Bible does not say it is required of a steward that a man be found successful. The Bible says it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. It is required of a man that he be faithful, not successful. God is simply asking you day after day after day to trust Him and to serve Him and to let Him work in your heart, and then to step out today, this afternoon, by faith and work through your life. True faith believes, and true faith works the works of God. And how we thank God that He'll help us and guide us. Then notice thirdly, not only the journey of faith, and not only the judgment or the evaluation of true faith, but notice finally now, the joy of faith. I got to tell you, there's something joyful about just living by faith. I think in the last 23 years, we have had 23 offerings from our church family of significant sacrificial proportion. I'm talking about offerings where common people will give uncommonly because of the grace of God and because of this faith walk. We've had times where $1,700,000 in cash and another million or two in commitments has been pledged by average citizens of the Antelope Valley with an uncommon work of God taking place in their hearts. We've had great things accomplished for the glory of God. But here's the thing that I always look at as a pastor. I stand at the back door as people walk out, and after giving $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, or some one or two or three, depending on the sacrificial measure, people walk out those back doors and they'll say to me every time, "That was awesome, Pastor. Praise God." I mean, men much larger than me try to hug me. We never quite can do it, but we try. We pat each other on the back. You know why? Because when you know you obeyed God and you stepped out by faith, it's exciting to do God's work. Hey, don't lose that. Some of you trusted God, you came here, and yeah, you went through a little homesickness or whatever, but you were excited to do what God wanted you to do. And there's joy in it. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 as we close this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now the joy of faith is first knowing, the joy of knowing God is at work. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The great thing about faith is that when the bill gets paid, when the class is passed, when the healing has been given, when the soul has been saved, the great thing about faith is being able to step back and say, there's only one way that could have happened, and that's if God did it. I believe this is possible even in sports. I believe God blesses the spiritual condition of the team and the faith of the team to win. I believe God can take a spiritually tenacious, grace-filled, faith-walking group of teammates, and God can do something in them that is supernatural. I believe God can do that with a student body. I believe God wants to so exponentially use this student body that it will utterly amaze some of you when you step back in 10 and 20 years and say, I just cannot believe that I get to do this for a living. I cannot believe that we're seeing souls saved like this. I cannot believe in this reprobate society that all of this is happening. And if you're half an ounce of a Christian, you're going to say, I know it's not me. It's God honoring my faith to go to this mission field. It's God honoring my faith to come to this ministry. And God is doing a work, and by it, you will obtain a good report. Now, I hope you get an A in Dr. R's class, but don't faint if you don't. The man talks so fast, I mean, you might miss a word now and then. Just kidding, Brother Rasmussen. Really just kidding, but you do talk fast. I hope you get A's in all these classes. But the heavenly report is not merely about the grade, ABC. It's about the faith. Because I know some students here, if you got a C in Dr. Rasmussen's class, that would take work and faith and cheating. No, not cheating. Work and faith. And it would be, go to In-N-Out and celebrate. And it would just be so exciting. God's not looking merely at the letter grade. He's looking at the heart of faith. There's joy in seeing God work. Secondly, there's joy in learning that God is able. Verse 3. Through faith we understand. You see, some of you get a little caught up in your alleged intellectualism. But you don't understand the Christian life with facts and figures. You understand the Christian life by trusting in God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You see, it happens by faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stories told of an old town where all of the residents were ducks. Every Sunday, the ducks would waddle out of their house. They would waddle down Main Street. They would waddle into the church house. They sat quietly in the sanctuary. The duck choir would waddle into its place. The duck pastor would stand at the pulpit. And he would begin to preach to those ducks. Ducks! God has given you wings, he would say. And with wings you can fly, he would say. You can mount up and soar like eagles because you are foul, feathered creatures. You can fly. No walls can confine you. No trees can hold you down. You are ducks, he would say. And you can fly. And you have wings. And you can fly with all the other birds in the sky. And all the ducks would shout, amen. And then they would all waddle home. Don't waddle back to your dorm today. Why don't you claim some of the promises of God and let God do something supernatural in your life? How will more missionaries be sent? By faith. How will the churches that call me every day get a pastor? By faith. How will God use your life and meet your needs? By faith. How will hard hearts become tender? By faith. How will the testimony of Christ go forward? By faith. And you say, well, Pastor Chapel, I've left my home and I could have had a good job with Uncle Zeke and my mom misses me. And you just don't understand all the sacrifice. I have a really great faith. I want to introduce you to a young lady in Somalia. A young lady who's a believer in Jesus Christ. A young lady who prays and has her devotions in the orphanage with the missionaries. And a few years ago, the Muslim bandits came in and they said, denounce Christ. And they challenged all of the people in the orphanage to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. She said, no, no. And I want you to see a picture of her today. Her faith worked. They said, you won't renounce Christ? Put your hands on your desk of your school. She put her hands out on the desk. And one at a time, the soldiers took the sword. I want to tell you something, students. I have no room for questioning whether she loves Jesus today. Somewhere along the line, God did a work of grace in her heart so great that by faith, she put her hands down. How's your faith today? Say, well, I've got this burden or that burden. And what would it take you to quit today? How's your faith today? Father in heaven, help us to be willing to lay down our agenda. Help us to be willing to have a stronger faith. Help us to have a vision of faith that is worthy of sacrifice. Strengthen our hearts.